Okay, we move on to the next segment of our program now. And that's what we said, we're speaking all about coffee. Is it useful or is it harmful? Starting off the discussion, Mufti Saab, you give us the verdict. Coffee, good, bad. Which way?
There are many who wake up in the morning groggy, eyes struggling to adjust to the light, and everything seems blurry, and then you stumble into the kitchen and you get your first cup of coffee. The smell hits you first, a nice dark roast perhaps, and then finally you first sip and you begin to begin the rest of your morning routine, and that beautiful aromaful beverage helped you get a kickstart to your day. So that is the role that it serves for many people. Initial studies did suggest that it could lead to health problems, but recent research provides strong evidence that drinking coffee actually has a variety of health benefits. And there is some study by Frank Wu, the chair of the Department of Nutrition at Harvard University, and he says that the overall evidence has been pretty convincing that coffee has been more healthful than harmful in terms of health outcomes. For most people, moderate coffee consumption can be incorporated into a healthy diet, and he said that moderate coffee intake could be 2 to 5 cups a day, and it's linked to a lower likelihood of type 2 diabetes, heart diseases, liver or endometrial cancer, Parkinson's diseases, and even depression. It's even possible that people who drink coffee can reduce their risk of, critical illnesses towards the end of the life. So early research linked coffee to diseases ranging from heart diseases and asthma. But then what they found is that, what was the problem is that people who drink coffee tend to smoke also. And the smoking was actually causing the problem, not the coffee itself. So in the past, that was the thought that, anything that is, and also there was this thought that anything that people enjoy must be bad. So people enjoyed their coffee, and therefore there was this idea that it may be something bad. But there are health benefits to coffee.
So, well, that statement of yours gives the chocolate lovers some hope, you know. Everything that they enjoy doesn't mean it's bad. All right. Now the next question, very, very interestingly, can coffee cause anxiety or depression?
There's some very interesting research about coffee and depression. It turns out that coffee might actually be a protective factor against depression, and is even correlated with reduction in suicide. And this is something really interesting. There's a study that looked at this entire, and it said that there might be some link. So it's not absolutely certain, but there may be some sort of a link here. In 2016, WHO, the World Health Organization's list of carcinogenic foods, they took coffee off that. And the WHO even reports that coffee may protect against cancer of the uterus and liver. And they, not alone, several others well-known esteemed organizations like the World Cancer Research Fund and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services have also declared that coffee consumption in moderate can have a positive effect on your health and protect you from various types of cancer. So when it comes to depression, it was found that it may not be only the caffeine at play, as there are other impactful components in coffee. The more notable is the chlorogenic acid, or the furulic acid, or the caffeic acid, all of which has been found to reduce inflammation of nerves, which is found to be a factor in the brains, people suffering from depression. So that is, coffee and depression. Also, coffee and anxiety. The research on coffee and anxiety is not quite as positive for those who suffer from anxiety as it is for those who suffer from depression. And it's not at all surprising either, but there was something that I did find interesting. By and large, it was found that if you don't suffer from anxiety, coffee will likely not have too much of a negative impact on you when consumed in moderate amounts. However, when caffeine does increase to more than 400 milligrams per day, then symptoms associated with anxiety may appear, such as restlessness, jitteriness, and trouble with sleep. In those who suffer from anxiety, it will take far less to exacerbate their already present symptoms. So there is no clear evidence in this regard, but it may have a negative impact on anxiety.
Okay, Musa, but I suppose both of them, right? It's all going to depend on how much. So long as you're drinking it within moderation, it's not going to be that harmful. Now, the next question, equally as interesting, how does coffee affect your mood? As you said, people wake up in the morning groggy, not even in the mood of waking up, but the fact that they come into the kitchen and that coffee, the smell, the aroma of that coffee brewing in the pot is something to wake up to. How does it affect the mood?
Yeah, so when it comes to your overall mood, the thing you should think about is how your body responds to caffeine, as this is the primary issue for most people. Depression or anxiety aside, our bodies have different sensitivities to caffeine. Some people can drink an espresso, you know, right before bed and have no trouble sleeping. It could guarantee a night of restful, peaceful sleep. And poor sleep contribution to irritability, less resistance to dealing with life stresses that is for others. So getting a good night's sleep is essential when dealing with chronic anxiety. So if you fall into the camp, then, you know, those that are, it gives you good sleep, then that is fine. Others, it may not. The bottom line is that overall the research says that there are potentially a few health benefits when it comes to depression and coffee drinking than to coffee and anxiety, where it's found to have a negative or neutral impact. So given the various research, some of which is very promising, some of which is not so promising, coffee is not going to eradicate any mental health concerns, though it does not necessarily seem to cause them. The most important thing to consider when thinking about the impact of coffee is your own anxiety and depression as to whether it will aggravate. You know, sleep plays a big role in the impact that it has on your coffee. So those are just thoughts to... in terms of the research, obviously, as we said, nothing is conclusive at this stage, and you know, it's just a work in process, a progress.
Okay, Musa, final question with regards to this coffee, right? Some people have the habit of drinking or getting through quite a few cups in a day. Maybe certain people are probably trying to get rid of some other habit, maybe, you know, smoking, maybe eating something. So instead of doing that, they replace it with coffee. How many cups a day? How many, you know, how does one cut back on drinking too much?
I've heard anecdotally, I'm not sure that, you know, Discovery, they have a huge building with a couple of thousand employees and all drinking coffee multiple times a day. And with COVID, everyone put it home. Just on their coffee bill, they saved so much that they are now willing to keep more of the people at home working from home. So it's a huge thing. Anyway, what you need to do is cut down or cut back gradually. Caffeine is a stimulant, and you will likely feel some physiological symptoms such as a headache, brain fog, or general fatigue. And this will last for a day or two, possibly more, depending on how much caffeine you've been consuming. So before you start cutting down, it's good to know how much caffeine you are drinking, and then the way you gradually cut back over a few days. Then the other thing is to stay hydrated. So coffee or caffeine, whatever it is, you know, there's a certain amount of water that you're consuming. So cutting down will most likely then mean reduction in your water consumption. Therefore, you need to stay hydrated. Get plenty of rest. You will naturally feel a little tired when you're cutting down on caffeine or coffee. Make sure you have enough rest. Increase your physical activity. Try to increase your physical activity a little. Physical activity is known to increase mood, which will counter the irritability. And then you must take notes to keep a little log or journal to write down how you're feeling on different days and how much. And if any caffeine you're drinking at various points in your trial, think about your mood, how you feel, how you're sleeping, and possibly how you're feeling it is impacting on your relationship and your daily activities. And when you go back to looking at the data, you'll be able to assess the impact of coffee or caffeine on you in a more accurate manner. The then question, Molan, is that how do you like to drink your coffee?
Not a coffee lover, Ma. So, no, it's not. I drink both, right? It's not that I only drink tea, or it's not that I only drink coffee. And you get certain people that are like that. They won't touch the other, you know. I drink both. Very simple, just drink both.
But how do you prepare it? How do you like it to be prepared?
Some people like it very, very strong. I'm not that type. I do drink it a little bit strong, but not very, 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 very strong coffee, where it actually tastes bitter. You know, I don't like the very bitter taste, but not completely sweet. It's got to have that mix between the two. Sometimes I wonder if that's maybe that's actually making it more difficult, because some people just drink it straight out butter and finished. To get that mixture between the two, to have that slight buttery taste but not completely, maybe sometimes it's a bit more difficult to get that right.
You know, I prefer a bit of a milky taste to it. So it actually camouflages the coffee itself. To mix the coffee and the milk first with the sugar, and then after that add the water, and then add some more milk in the end, and that sort of gets it the balance right for me. So yes, the listeners can tell us how they like their coffee.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting to know. Some people drink very milky, and some people don't like it don't like the milky taste at all. They prefer to get, even in tea.
Yes,
like with tea as well. I don't like very milky tea. Like if you look at certain areas, certain regions, like Pakistani tea, you know, it's very milky. And but some people just prefer, like myself, I must get the taste of tea. I don't want to taste milk. Otherwise, I'll pour myself a glass of milk. I want to taste tea. Yeah, that's my outlook on it. But nonetheless, it'll be interesting to listen from the listeners out there. Which way do they enjoy their coffee, strong or milky? But nonetheless, that does bring us to the end of the conversation all about coffee.